This meeting will be conducted exclusively through video conference and teleconference pursuant to Government Code Section 54953E and the state declared emergency. This meeting of the Board of Library Trustees will be conducted exclusively through teleconference and Zoom video conference. The COVID-19 state of emergency continues to directly impact the ability of the members to meet safely in person and presents imminent risks to the health of attendees. Therefore, no physical meeting location will be available. Okay. To access the meeting remotely, join from a PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or Android device. Please use this URL, HTTPS. Oh, do I have to read that? Or is, oh, Councilmember Hahn, there you are. Do I have to read the entire thing? John, you should know by now, right?
No, I always just read what was pertinent for the meeting tonight.
Oh, okay. This meeting will be conducted in accordance with the Brown Act Government Code Section 54953. Any member of the public may attend this meeting. Questions regarding this matter may be addressed to Eve Franklin, Administrative Secretary, 510-981-6102. The Board of Library Trustees may take action related to any subject listed on the agenda. Okay, that ought to do it. I guess we should call the roll.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Barely.
Okay.
Yes.
I have audio difficulties tonight. Amy Roth? Amy?
Eve, we can't hear you.
Okay.
Eve, are you usually doing that in alphabetical order?
We have had two suggestions. One is to call in for the audio and use your cell phone and then turn off your monitor sound. The other is to check the input volume for your microphone. I'm thinking you probably already tried that. We are not hearing you at all, unfortunately.
Perhaps while she's looking into that, I can go ahead and do the roll call to continue the meeting. Trustee Roth?
Here.
Trustee Hahn?
Present.
Trustee Davenport?
Here.
Trustee Green?
Here.
Trustee Solowski?
Present.
Okay. Next, we have public comment on non-agenda matters. Is there?
I am seeing a person attendee, Sean Lacey. It looks like present in the attendee list.
Okay.
I am seeing that Kathy Huff.
Yep. I see Kathy Huff, but I don't see anybody else. Shall we have Kathy go ahead? Okay, Kathy. Kathy Huff.
Hi, everyone. Good evening. I am just here for a moment to remind you that in 10 days, we have Library Love Letters, our kickoff event for our new campaign to support the library. And it's a really fun 25-minute event. I put the link to register, it's free, in your chat. So I'm hoping many, if not all of you, will be able to sign up for that. I know some of you have already. And just so you know, it is, your link is good for the whole weekend. So you can just kind of turn it on anytime you feel the mood to be inspired by these wonderful people who will be presenting at this event. And I thank you all in advance for spending 25 minutes of your weekend with this event. It's really the kickoff for a whole year of excitement that we hope to generate, of enthusiasm for supporting the library. And to that end, I wanted to say at this point that in case you had not heard officially, although I think it's perhaps in communications that have come to you in the past, is the foundation is very pleased to be able to support the story room upgrade and renovation. And we have committed up to $145,000 towards that project. And we have some really wonderful partners in doing that with the Friends of the Library and the Alba Witkin Foundation, both of whom who have given substantive gifts so that we can make as much money as might be needed possible for that renovation and update. And just to also say from a personal point of view, it was a real pleasure to be able to, you know, meet with periodically the children's staff at Central and the supervising staff at Central, and of course, to meet with Tess about this project. We're really excited to put funds, significant funds, to making it happen for our community. I think our children and our families and caregivers will be well served by what will come as a result of this project and the sort of the shared ideas that have come forward by involving the staff team so closely. So again, just excited, very pleased to be able to support that effort.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy. Is there somebody else waiting? I don't see anybody, but Tess, did you see someone?
We just want to provide time for that. If there's anyone who raises their hand or indicates that they would like to comment.
Okay, well. Oh, geez. My mouse has gone wild. It's just, okay, well, we can move on to the comments from library unions. Are any of the unions having reps here that want to speak? I don't see anybody, participants. Give them a moment, but I think we're good. Oh, okay. Well, it's time for comments from the Board of Trustees. Okay. Trustee Green, would you like to go first?
Thank you. I just continue to be amazed at the services that the Berkeley Public Library is able to share and provide for our community members. The more I learn about the library, such as just when I wanted to find a background for my screen, the more I am amazed by this incredible organization.
Trustee Hahn.
Thank you. I'll second all that. But in addition, I just wanted to say that I know that with Omicron, it has continued to be a real challenge to all organizations. And I know that it has resulted in more people in the city of Berkeley testing positive. I don't believe I've heard of any transmissions that were at the city, but anytime someone tests positive, it has a really big impact on their whole unit and on the organization as a whole. It's very unexpected and random, and it's a challenge for coworkers. People have a high level of concern, rightly so, for their health. And it's also a challenge for management to be you know, figuring out what to keep open, what to close, how to fill in. And so there's, I think there's been a lot of pivoting and a lot of, I'd say, heightened fear during this wave. And I really want to acknowledge how difficult that has been for everyone, the entire library family, at every level of the organization. And thank you all for partnering across the organization to meet yet another very challenging time. Thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Davenport?
I don't have anything this evening. Thank you, Amy.
Sure. Trustee Solaski?
Yes, thank you. You can hear me, right?
Yes.
Good. Yes, I wanted to echo comments from Sophie about we're in kind of unprecedented territory, and I want to thank our staff again, and the staff at Berkeley, all of Berkeley city staff, for stepping up and doing what needs to be done here. Is not easy and sometimes very challenging. And I'm just going to say I appreciate it. Thank you. excuse me. I have some congestion tonight. Some of you don't know. I've been writing poetry my whole life. 69 years old. I'm going to be 70 in April. It's hard to believe, actually. How does that happen? Hey, can anybody explain that to me? But I pull out my old notebooks periodically. What I do, how I write is I jot down ideas, phrases, images, and then later on I put them together. So I've got probably hundreds of notebooks, you know, with jottings. I wrote this down decades ago. Liber, Librum, Aperit. It's Latin. It's been attributed to many Greeks, many Romans. Nobody really knows who said it. Liber, Librum, Aperit. One book opens another. And it's so simple to me and so profound, because it's kind of been my life and a lot of our lives. And that's what the library is for. Thank you, library. Thank you, staff. Thank you, the city of Berkeley.
Thank you, John. That's a great thought. It really is. That's why when a child starts to read, like, the doors to the world really just fling wide open. It's so exciting. It's great. I don't really have anything to add after that. I just think we're all doing the best we can, and that's all we can ask. Okay, so we're moving on to the consent calendar, and the only item is the minutes of the last meeting. So has anybody caught anything on there that needs to be changed? Okay, Diane, is your hand up?
Brian wasn't listed in the attendees, and since he was there and presenting, I think he should be noted, that's all.
Okay.
Brian Gavin.
Okay. Anybody else catch anything? Okay, I'll entertain.
Sorry, Amy, I was-
Oh, okay, wait, yes, I see two hands, John and Sophie. Sophie, go ahead.
Thank you. I was just gonna ask my colleagues if we might be able to move item C onto the consent calendar, the authorization to advance the salary study project. This is basically those of you who were on the board when we were doing the executive director search, recall that we just delegated some of the administrative tasks related to that to be run by the president and vice president at the time. There's a small amount of work that needs to be done to advance some of the background material that we want for our further discussion of the director's review and salary. And this is just authorizing Board President Roth and myself as vice president to make those arrangements.
Okay, so the motion is to move item C on the action calendar to the consent calendar. Is there any discussion?
Okay. I think that doesn't require a motion. It just requires unanimous consent.
Okay. All I called for was to see if there was any questions or discussion.
Yes, Amy.
Yes, John. Okay.
I would prefer that on an action. And secondarily, I will move the minutes from the last minute in meeting.
Be approved?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Is there?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Diane. So we need to call the roll for approving the consent calendar, the minutes from the last meeting.
As amended.
As amended.
By Diane.
As amended. That's correct. Is Eve? Eve?
She had indicated that her headset was working. I will go ahead and do this to advance the meeting.
Okay.
Trustee Roth?
Yes.
Trustee Hahn?
Yes.
Trustee Davenport?
Yes.
Trustee Green?
Yes.
Trustee Solosky?
Yes.
Okay, so the motion is passed. Okay, next I would like to have a motion that we make a small change to the order of the agenda. We have some staff giving some reports, and it would be kindness on our part to move them up after the consent calendar, but before the action calendar. So will somebody make that motion, please?
I'll move that. Beverly Green.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. And do we have a second?
Yeah, I'll second.
I can second that.
Okay. Yeah, I can. Amy, in the future, you have the right as a chair to move things around if there's no objections from the board.
All I have to do is ask
objection.
If there's any objections. Okay.
Right.
Thank you,
right.
John. I always appreciate
that.
Okay. But in any case, that's approved without objection. So we're going to move to the information reports.
Thank you. More specifically, we're going to move to the outdoor programming oral update, and then we can revert back to the original agenda. The outdoor programming update is a collective effort. Some of you might have noticed that a number of staff are in attendance, and we have, I think, about 5 different people who are going to be speaking to this topic. And we're going to start with a recorded video that our wonderful children's librarian at Claremont Branch, Michael Quende, recorded because he couldn't be here. But I wanted to mention before we start the presentations that Dan, who is in attendance, and you will be hearing from him in a few minutes, and Michael, you know, really, I think, pioneered this effort to start doing programs outside. When we realized that we weren't going to be able to move indoors as quickly as we'd hoped, And we also acknowledge that the public was really interested in having some kind of more tangible programming. It was around that time when I think people were really tiring of doing everything online. So with that, we're going to start again with this video featuring Michael Quende, the children's librarian at Claremont. And I just want to make sure, confirm, Eve, are you launching that video from your screen? I will go ahead and launch that video because I'm not seeing a comment from Eve. My apologies for the delay here. It'll just take a second.
Tess, I have it up as well, if that would help.
Indeed, please go ahead and launch it if you've got it open already. Thank you. It's not capturing his audio, correct? This has a narration component.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me see if I can back it up and try again.
Musical story time in the park.
Can you hear it?
Yes.
No? Okay. Sorry, folks.
Story time in the park began as a result of the demand for story time in the Claremont branch, which lacked the space to accommodate everyone who wanted to attend. Bateman Park, located only 3 blocks from the library, turned out to be the perfect location for this program, since it was already a place that many caregivers took their children for lunch and play after story time. The Storytime community was happy with the new venue, and the program thrived until the pandemic hit 2019, which caused a shutdown of all library programming. Nonetheless, over the course of the closure, 3 library staff members and a longtime volunteer began discussing the idea of forming a Storytime band in anticipation of a return to library programming. The 4 included Michael, that's me. I have been the children's librarian at the Claremont Branch Library since 2013 and have a passion for child-friendly music and engaging storytime read-alouds. This is Tim, one of the most dedicated volunteers you'll ever meet. For years, he has been volunteering at 4 Berkeley Public Library story times a week. Next up is Juan, who has been drumming since he was a kid. Juan can play the drums and sing like you wouldn't believe. Last but not least is Donovan. He is not only a fantastic musician, but also our resident music tech guy. So now that it is much safer than it was a couple of years ago, what has the band been up to? Well, quite a few things, including since July, we have led 13 sessions of musical storytime events at Bateman Park, visited all kindergarten and first grade classes at 4 Berkeley elementary schools, as well as the West Berkeley YMCA, and a Vera Casey Head Start. We have also had the pleasure of joining the children's librarians at Torreya Hall Pittman South and North Branches to provide musical accompaniment for their storytime programs. At all of these events, we often hear sweet comments from the children and their parents. One that I happen to remember always makes me smile. A father picking up poles from Claremont told me that his daughter excitedly shared what happened at school that day. When my daughter got home from school, she said, "Dad, you're not going to believe this. Mr. Michael came with a band to my school today, and I had so much fun. It was so happy." So what does the future hold for the Storytime Band? Plenty. Once we are beyond this Omicron surge, we plan to continue our visits to the rest of the city's elementary schools. But in the meantime, we'll be kept busy with February Storytime sessions at West Berkeley's George Florence Park. And in March, we will return to Bateman Park for a spring Storytime kickoff. So hopefully we'll see you at the park too.
Thank you. And Amy, I know you're going to launch the presentation for our next speaker.
Oh, not me. Surprise.
Who's up next?
I up next, Heather, with Central Support. All right, thanks, Amy. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm Heather Cummins. I'm the supervising librarian for Central Support. I'm based out of the Central Library, and I've been helping our teen services staff team throughout the whole system with services for teens. And so I wanted to introduce myself today, and I also wanted to introduce my colleague, who's also part of my team, Sierra Gribble. She is a library specialist, also based out of Central Library. And I'm going to talk about a couple of things in this presentation, and then we're going to switch over to Sierra. So we've been able to connect with teens through food outside of the library in kind of a new way that we've experimented with outdoor programming. So Amy, if you wanna go to the next slide. Amy, I'm wondering, can you advance us to the next slide? Oh, thank you, okay. So in November, Central Support coordinated a really large afternoon event with teens. We were focused on our teens at the Berkeley High School. And we ended up coordinating this with staff from Central Relaunch Task Team, members of our Central Circulation Group, even Maintenance, Central Adult, Central Children's, and even teen services librarians from Treya Hall Pittman South Branch, and also the West Branch helped us with this event. And we hosted a taco truck right in front of the Central Library. We served almost 500 tacos to at least 150, I think, teens. But even more than that, we engaged with even more teens, double that, as they waited in line for some free tacos. And this event was in honor and celebration of the new teen room. So we were building awareness in just a kind of really fun and casual way with teens outside of our library. It was also an opportunity for us to do some giveaways of our free comics that we had had for over a year because of the disruption with COVID that year. We also helped just bring awareness of the resources that we had for teens specifically at the library. So teens just couldn't believe that we were giving away free tacos to them, but they were super delighted. We got some really great comments too from adults in the community who were passing by this event as well, saying thank you so much for being of service to our teens in this community. Amy, could you progress to the next slide? Something that I also just wanted to highlight is not only were we of service to teens in our community, but it was also just an incredible experience in partnering with other community groups. So DBA helped us helped us kind of with the process of making space out front of the library, which I had not had that experience before of doing. Shallon Allen of our City of Berkeley's Neighborhood Services also helped with that. You can see in this picture on the far right, security guard Renee. She was incredible. She's with our Allied Security Services. You'll see also Kathy Huff helped out with the event as well. She was incredible giving out tickets to the event. And again, we had multiple different staff across the whole library system come just for this event to help out. And it just felt like a real, it was just so fun to be together in person for, which we hadn't been in such a long time. So it felt really exciting and just like a joyful event. So next is Sierra.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sierra. I'm the library specialist in the central support unit. I work with Heather at the Central Library. So another way that we've been engaging with teens around food is a 3-month program that kicked off last month called Teen Tidbits. So Monday, January 10th was the first of these events. We decided that we would try to reach teens in the morning on their way to school. Berkeley High has a late start on Monday mornings. So Heather and I came in early and we used this is the Charlie cart that you see here. And I prepared the chai on the Charlie cart and we used the Charlie cart's curriculum. They have an incredible food literacy curriculum, which includes a chai recipe. So we brewed chai, put it in air pots, and it gave us this really special way to engage with teens in the morning on a Monday morning on their way to school. It was cold. We were offering them a hot beverage. It was awesome. Amy, could you go to the next slide, please? So this was our first attempt at this was in January, experimenting with a morning event and seeing, you know, who we could reach. It gave us a special opportunity to engage with teens before the library was open and engage with them in a kind of a more casual way introduce ourselves as approachable adults in the community and also to invite them back to the library in the afternoon after school. We served chai to 27 kids. And after 10 a.m., which is when school started, we expanded our offering and shared chai with the adults who were hanging around outside of the library on Kittredge Street. So that was nice to engage with adults too. Another opportunity to use the Charlie cart as an engagement tool. Next slide, thank you. So coming up, this is a 3-month program, the Teen Tidbits. So the next one coming up is on February 10th, will be after school. We'll be whipping up smoothies, out of this world smoothies. We have two flavors and we're gonna be inviting the teens to come inside the library to check out the teen space. Answer some trivia questions and take a selfie with an astronaut to get a ticket to get a smoothie. And then March 8th is the third event planned. We'll be after school again with the Charlie cart again, preparing herbed popcorn to serve to the teens after school. And then we're gonna have another taco event in the spring, which will be at the Claremont branch. To give us a chance to promote teen services to the teens in that neighborhood and those who go to Willard Middle School, which is the closest public school to Claremont. So we're still working on the details, but we're looking forward to more opportunities to tempt the teens with treats, get them into the library. And I think we have one more slide, Amy. absolutely want to give a huge thank you to the friends of the Berkeley Public Library who've funded the Teen Taco Tuesday event and who have also funded all of the ingredients for the other Teen Tidbit events that we're having. And also, of course, to the Berkeley Public Library Foundation, thank you for funding the Charlie Cart, which is an incredible kitchen on wheels.
Thank you very much, Sierra. Thanks for being here, and thank you, Heather. Our next presenter is Dan.
Hello. I'm going to be talking about the programming that we've done here outdoors at the Taria Hall Pittman South Branch. We use the Tool Library parking lot, which you can see behind me right now. So I just want to give some background here. Prior to suspending programs in March of 2020, we had a thriving schedule of diverse events for all ages. We did concerts. We had a children's story time 4 times a week. We had a teen leadership group that put on events for teens and also adults and kids as well. We had DIY programs featuring tools from the Tool Library. And we had our Taria Hall Pittman Social Justice Series, where authors and filmmakers and activists presented on social justice issues. Of course, there was no programming for quite a while. And then in the summer of 2021, the library began to discuss outdoor events, and the Tool Library parking lot was identified as a space where we could hold programs safely. And we kicked things off in July of 2021 with basic bike repair, presented by our partners at Bike East Bay, who we've had a long relationship with. And these partnerships have allowed us to put on so many fun educational and cultural events, including Goldfinch Designs and local artists as well have been working with us. Pretty much everyone here at the branch has had some hand in outdoor programming, but Brianna Bradford, Juan Castile, Angel Entes, Courtney Cole, Josh Lockman, and Robert Young have really stepped up and done a lot to put these programs on, from planning and delivering the programs to doing a day of events set up and takedown as well. So the next slide. Okay. So I'll start by talking about some of our Tool Library workshops. We've been providing instructional programming on the use of the tool collection, including our new culinary collection. And we've been working with Bike East Bay, as I mentioned. Berkeley Reads, Esther Suarez from Berkeley Reads did a great healthy cooking program using some of the items from the culinary collection, as well as the Charlie Cart. And Goldfinch Designs, which is a women-owned business in Berkeley that does landscape architecture. She's a Tool Library patron as well. She uses a lot of our tools in her work, and she's really enthusiastic about teaching gardening and landscaping in the community as well. And you know, these are hands-on workshops where people have the opportunity to get answers from the experts. And on this next slide, I have a couple of photos from some of our gardening workshops. Some of the topics have been fall planting, planting for pollinators, and just last month we held a fruit tree pruning program where we had over 90 people come out to learn how to prune their fruit trees. I found it personally rewarding as I went and pruned my own trees the next day using a lot of techniques that I learned from Alexis. All of the pruning equipment from the Tool Library was gone by the end of this program. So it was great to see people take that knowledge and the tools from the library back home and put it to work. Next slide. And then of course, we've had a lot of cultural events. If there's a running theme to this whole presentation, it's that Juan Castile is everywhere. And he works here at the South Branch, the Taria Hall Pittman South Branch. And he's been doing art and music programming for the library system for many years. And in 2021, he took the party outdoors with dance performances by La Mezcla for Hispanic Heritage Month. And he also organized a Zydeco concert and dance lesson featuring the Blue Runners. This was the biggest event we've had. Over 100 people came out to see see this performance by the Blue Runners, and we had dancing all over the parking lot. It was a huge, huge event, and it's just amazing to see. It's like the first really big thing I had been to in Berkeley since COVID started. Our children's librarian, Josh Lockman, revived his sketching group, which was originally a nature journaling group, but it's evolved over the past few months into an urban sketching group where they often sketch architecture. They've been to the life sciences building at Cal, where they gather and draw some of the fossils on display, as well as just buildings around campus. And it's really given people an opportunity to connect over a shared interest, and they've been adopted by a local meetup group. Here's some of the events that we've had. Some of our staff sat in with the Zydeco band. That's Courtney Kolb, our aide, is playing the washboard there, which that may have been his first time playing the washboard. So it's brave of him to step up in front of 100 people and play. And Juan is back there playing the drums as well. And you can also see La Mezcla, the dance group that performed here. Next slide. You're hearing a lot about story time tonight. Josh does a weekly story time in Grove Park. We've been averaging about 40 people per program. There's a local preschool group that meets in the tot area every week. And so they all watch the story time. And some of our old regulars have come back and found story time outside as well. And Juan joins him on musical accompaniment. And as Michael mentioned, he's been able to step in for Josh when Josh has had to miss a week. Next slide. And then vaccination clinics. We've held 4 vaccination clinics in collaboration with the Berkeley Department of Public Health and Carbon Health, a local healthcare provider. And over 150 people were vaccinated at the library in 2021. And we have 2 more scheduled for later this month. You can see me in that photo getting my booster. So it's a great opportunity for people to come out and get vaccinated at a place where they're comfortable and they feel safe. Next slide. So the results, we've had 891 people attend outdoor programming offered by Taria Hall Pittman South and the Tool Library staff. 29 events were held from July 2021 through January 2022 at the branch. Turnout for most adult programs has been higher than similar pre-COVID programming at the branch. The gardening workshops that Alexis did pre-COVID tended to get about 30 to 40 people, and now she's had 40 to 90 people. So, you know, I don't know what's driving that, possibly fewer things to do, but also just, you know, it's been some exciting content as well. Storytime attendance and teen programming haven't returned to pre-pandemic numbers yet, though, although I know that they have in other locations. And staff and presenters are continuing to offer a diverse selection of events. And we've gotten great feedback, you can see on the next slide, from attendees and presenters. And I just want to thank the Friends of the Berkeley Public Library for funding all of these events, and also the foundation for providing the culinary equipment and the Charlie cart as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dan, again, the supervising librarian at Taria Hall Pittman South. And last but certainly not least, I'd like to introduce Sheila Liu, our fantastic new children's librarian currently working at the North Branch. And we've just been so pleased to see how much Sheila's been able to accomplish in a relatively short time working as a children's librarian at North.
Amy?
Sheila, I'm sorry, I'm having one technical difficulty. I'll be right there, I'm sorry.
Okay, sure.
I'm sorry for the delay, Sheila. Can you see it?
Yeah, I can see it. Can you hear me? Okay. Good evening. My name is Sheila Liu, and I'm a staff member at North Branch. I would like to share with you the outdoor programming we've been doing at this location. Next slide, please. Since July 2021, I've been presenting story time outside on the lawn every week, except on rainy days and holidays. Most people bring their own blankets, but I have carpet squares available if needed. Next slide, please. Storytime on the lawn is every Wednesday at 10 a.m. This 30-minute story time is geared towards children ages 2 to 5. I'm accompanied by Kenny Blake on guitar and Juan Castillo on bongo drums. Their musical talents enhance the story time experience. To date, there have been 22 sessions of story time. There has been only one cancellation due to wet weather. Next slide, please. Thank you. This bar graph shows story time attendance over the past 6 months. The first story time had 13 attendees. However, attendance has steadily increased since then. The highest attendance we had was 102 on January 26 last week. Average attendance is 68. One of the highlights for me was the week-long storytime celebration at all three locations in honor of Mr. Jim Jacobs, Berkeley Public Library's first African-American librarian. At this special storytime, we were joined at North by Mr. Michael and the Claremont Storytime Band. Next slide, please. And in celebration of Latinx Heritage Month, North Branch hosted a danza program with youth performers from RISE. RISE is a nonprofit youth agency which offers academic support and college preparation programs for low-income at Promise Berkeley youth. I would like to take the opportunity to express my deepest thanks to Executive Director Adriana Betty and the six students for offering this fantastic program at no cost to the Berkeley community. There were 89 attendees, and many expressed their appreciation of this program afterwards. Next slide, please. Two outdoor craft programs were offered in December. We set up tables and chairs outside the entrance of North Branch. Due to the unsettled weather, these were pop-up events announced 2 to 3 days in advance. Next slide, please. First craft program involved designing seasonal decorations using scratch art paper. There were 22 participants with 12 children and 10 adults. People were very creative. I took pictures and some of the designs were posted to the library's Instagram. The second craft program involved coloring bookmarks and attaching a ribbon tassel. There were 19 participants with 13 children and 6 adults. Next slide, please. In summary, at North Branch, outdoor programming has been targeted towards children, caregivers, parents, and families. between July 2021 and January 2022, there have been 26 events offered to the community. In total, 1,677 children and adults have attended North Branch outdoor programming. Despite the rain and the cold, outdoor storytime attendance at North has held steady and even increased. Next slide, please. Community response to our outdoor programming has been positive. On the left is a comment submitted through the library's website. The patron writes, say, you are doing a huge service to the community by offering these live and outdoors, especially when raising small children during COVID. I hope you keep this wonderful set of programming going, and I'm just so grateful. In the middle, 510 Families is an online resource for Oakland and Berkeley families. They posted the video of North Storytime to Instagram with the tagline, grateful for libraries adapting. They even shared tips on how to get the best storytime experience. Come early and put out their blankets, enter the library at 10 o'clock to get easy parking, browse the books and use the restroom. D-Dining7 responded with saying, how awesome. SF Public Library, take note. We would love this in the city too. On the right, a young patron wrote this note of thanks to the library after coloring her bookmark. Dear library, you are a great library. Dear librarians, you are working hard. Thank you. And thank you. This is the end of my presentation.
And I just want to thank everybody. That is such a wonderful comment, and I think it really captures the spirit here. Everyone is indeed working hard, and I just want to thank everybody who took the time to develop this programming and participate in it and share with the community. And I think, as was noted earlier, of course, everyone's demonstrated a lot of creativity and hard work. But the other thing I just want to tag back to is that, you know, it took courage for our staff to do this because not everyone felt comfortable doing this. And certainly at this point in time, we didn't require people to do this, but these are people who stepped up and took the initiative. And, you know, even sometimes when feeling maybe more apprehensive during the Delta surges, during the Omicron surges, you know, these are real concerns that people have, and they stepped up to provide the service anyway. And I'm just incredibly grateful for that in particular. So that concludes our report on outdoor programming. And this would be a good time to see whether there are any questions for any of our presenters. It looks like Trustee Solovsky and Trustee Hahn and Trustee Green.
Okay, I saw Trustee Solovsky first.
Thank you. I want to thank our staff. This is just, it's really inspiring. The food at Central for the teens, the story time, the music. I love that last one at North. Thank you, library. You're a great library. Thank you, librarians, for working so hard. You work so hard. Yes, thank you. Thank you all. And I also, I meant to do this earlier. It's time to call out and thank the Friends and the Foundation for their participation in all of this. And Kathy, your name, you know, the foundation has come up two or three times already tonight. So, and I missed it earlier, but thank you all for your participation, your collaboration, and your help in getting these things going. And just as a side note, my wife took one of these, is it sketching from the Taria Pittman, that she went to the campus and did some of her. She's a graphic artist from way back, and she's starting to do it again. And that kind of, you know, it inspired her to get out there and do it. And so thank you.
I'll tell Josh about that.
Trustee Green. You're muted. Okay, there
you go. Hello, these are great programs. Thank you for sharing them. And I'm just sort of, I guess I have two questions. Again, these are great programs. I think these are a great way to share the resources of the library, and these are very, very creative. I'm wondering how they're promoted, and if there was an opportunity to have something at West. I know it does not have a green space, as far as I'm aware. But, you know, I wonder if it was, you know, if there have been any thoughts about what to do out in West, and just in general, how they're promoted.
I can talk to the promotion if you'd like.
Please.
Staff have a variety of ways that we can promote things. When we were first introducing outdoor story time, it was starting with flyers, old fashioned flyers to get to folks who were coming into the library and doing that sort of like one-on-one promotion type thing. But the traditional ways are the ways that you're exposed to as a trustee. So our library newsletter goes out to 100,000 people every month. And we have an incredible click-through rate. It's always in the 30 or 40%. We are, lucky that folks enjoy our newsletters and read them. So, and I think staff can attest that once the newsletter goes out, we immediately fill up with things. We also promote on social media. So in the last 6 months, especially, every event is posted at least twice, if not three times on social media. Eve creates these great slides, these digital displays that are in every library. So when you're in different parts of the library on different floors and stuff, they catch your eye and you're able to see what's upcoming events coming. For big events, like I was actually just rewatching the Rainbow Sign event that Wanted last year, which was actually virtual. But for events that we need more targeted, and actually with the Zydeco, Dan, when you were saying that too, we can do other specific targeted outreach where we can, if it's a press release type thing, we can do a press release. If it's a tag 510 families that Sheila mentioned in certain posts. We also can tag Berkeley Side and things like that when it's appropriate. So a variety of different ways of getting the word out. And about West, I'm probably not the best person to say about that. Maybe Tess is going to jump in, but that's the story time that Michael was referring to in his little video clip that's going to be at a nearby park as close to West as we can get, since there's not outdoor space there.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Amy. And I just want to check in, Sierra or Heather, is there anything that you wanted to add with respect to outreach to teens at Berkeley High School, or maybe any different type of outreach tools that you use?
Yeah, I mean, we've developed a really great partnership with our high school librarians over at Berkeley High. They're very supportive of the work that we're doing. But I think Sierra noticed that a couple of the teens that came to the Chai event actually had it on their calendar because they found out about it through the newsletter, which I thought was just incredible. So I was surprised. I mean, one teen found out through their parent who subscribes to the newsletter, but there was actually a teen who found out about it and was just so excited. And they both brought their own reusable cups for the chai. So they were prepared.
Right.
Thank you. I'm noting that Trustee Han also had a question or comment.
Yes.
Well, I just also wanted to say how impressive I think all this is. And, you know, there's like these tiny little silver linings in this whole COVID experience. And I think the impetus to really extend ourselves with our outdoor programming and be really creative and how we can engage the public while still staying safe has been one of those small positives. And I think it's allowed you to be creative in ways that maybe wouldn't have been sought under normal circumstances. But what's really incredible is how high you rose to and above the occasion. At every branch and at Central, and how many people were delighted and have been delighted and engaged by this new kind of programming. And I know Director Mayer is very interested in the concept of sort of the whole city as our library, that the library doesn't end with the four walls of our buildings. And I think this is a really wonderful example of how the library can have no limits in our community. And so I just thought it was really exciting. And I chuckled a little bit that you guys have reaffirmed that the best way to the heart and mind of a teenager is through their stomach. Sounds good to me. I think that may be true of all people in Berkeley. You could probably get another 100 at your events if you offered chai or a bagel or something, especially if it's gourmet. So yeah, thank you for pivoting and performing in such extraordinary ways in these difficult times and being such a lifeline to the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Davenport.
I could say the same things over and over again, but one of the many things that struck me is that how collaborative the staff is being in working together on these events. And, you know, when I think back to programming, it was all single people deciding what to do and presenting the program. And often the staff would help with setups and whatnot, but we didn't do so many things together. And it's just delightful to see so many folks working together collaboratively to make these things work. And when you show that chai truck with, you know, the foundation people, regular staff, Eve, you know, all out there, what a great accolade to the staff and their willingness to do great service to this community. To be applauded for sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Trustee Roth.
Yeah, it's always hard to follow everybody else because everybody speaks well and they know what to say, but I'll say it again anyway, briefly. Just those were just amazing examples of the resilience and the creativity that we have in our staff. And I just really appreciated it so much. And also the Friends and Foundation, because they're doing backbone work also and should be acknowledged. I did want to say I particularly appreciated the data that we got from the North Berkeley outdoor program. I mean, the real numbers. That helps all of us know whether we're hitting the right spots. And it seemed quite clear that we are. I have to say, I hope it rains more, but even if it impacts the programs, we need it so desperately. But really kudos to everybody on this who was involved in producing those programs. They look just great. So good work. Well done.
Thank you. And with that, we conclude the outdoor programming report. I really appreciate everyone being here. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Okay, let's see. Oh, okay. I guess, oh, sorry. Let me lower my hand. Okay. Next on the agenda, we have the Board of Library Trustees priority setting. And this is something that Councilmember Hahn and Director Meyer and I kind of have been talking about. I'm sorry, I'm just trying to find the hard copy on my in my packet here. It's not tremendously formal. It's just that, I'm sorry.
What? Forgive me, Trustee Roth, I think we want to start with the first one, which was the circulation policy.
Oh, I'm sorry. And then I will go ahead and make sure we're moving things around. Sorry yeah, about that.
No problem.
Okay, never mind. Circulation policy update. Okay, so that's the next thing. And Jay is going to talk about that.
Yes, and here he is, Jay Davidson, our circulation services manager.
Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Great. Okay, there's not an awful lot. There's not a presentation here or anything. I'm just going to kind of give you a quick background on the situation, but also wanted to call out two things because they're kind of, one of them is very small in the item, and it's about the updating of the language on replacement items. And so that's when our collection services unit accepts a new book instead of payment for a lost item. And we called it out in the policy because we're slightly changing the language, but we didn't even include it here because it's simply just clarification on what it takes for them to accept a new copy. So that language will just update on the website so long as this item passes, but it changed it in no drastic way. Another one we wanted to call out, other than the collection agency change, was the have been charging a late fee on the laptops and the kiosks that we check out. And just like so many other things in COVID, it was something that we actually discontinued out of convenience for our patrons. And it was our hope that we could go ahead and just ask for permission tonight to permanently delete that charge, which we're currently not charging. Or at the very least waiving. I think we left it in place since we hadn't technically asked for permission yet. And then finally is the big item, which is the collection agency, which we have used for many years at Berkeley Public. The item that I've written here pretty much tells the story, but it has changed somewhat over the years. Namely, one thing is that library debt is no longer reportable to a collection agency, which is actually great because that's a complaint we used to get all the time. We would literally have, well, not all the time, but we'd have people who honestly would go apply for a car and find out that they had overdue books or something, or books they owed us for, which is not a great situation to be in for us or for them. So that's no longer reportable in any case. So that doesn't happen anymore, but now we're just in a situation where we're basically sending our own notices and then having the collection agency send notices as well. So it was our hope to discontinue that practice. We haven't done it since COVID hit us. So we haven't sent anybody two collections in 2 years. And I'll leave the item itself to kind of tell the story, but I also wanted to give you guys a chance to ask questions if you wanted to, since it represented a change and perhaps you don't have any. Great, I always get the boring stuff, which is perfect.
I do have my
I'm sorry, John, go ahead.
Yeah, no problem. You can hear me. Good. So the in lieu of the replacement fee, the accepting an item as a replacement, and I do note here, and I just want to read this for the community, for members, as long for people who are listening and who may have something involved here. As long as the item offered is the same title and is in the same format, that is paperback, DVD, audiobook, CD, as the item checked out. So this is a replacement if something is lost or not returned.
That's correct. Go ahead, Jeff.
If the item checked out is a hardcover edition, the library will accept a paperback edition if the hardcover is no longer being published, which is practical and I think kind of essential. But I used to sell rare and out of print books. So this used to be my bailiwick in a way, finding out of print books, you know, hardcovers for people who were looking for hardcover books. But that's an aside, and this makes perfect sense. And I actually appreciate it. And I think it'll make it easier for people to replace lost or unreturned items for whatever reason, you know?
Yeah, and more importantly,
we assume they're lost, but we don't really know, right?
Right, and we don't want to also put them in an uncomfortable situation where they bring us something that doesn't adequately replace it. So the language is simply meant to make that an easier process for them and to make it clear to them, yeah.
Thank you so much, thank you.
Yeah, so I guess in conclusion, unless there are other questions, you know, this really is we've had multiple directors since I've been here, and a lot of them have seen the collection agency a different way. And Tess, I know, feel supports this notion of getting rid of it, and I agree with her. It is just one more thing that sort of represents also a negative access point, I think. Because a lot of people still think it does affect their credit. They feel like they've been sent to some big agent, big scary agency, and that's not the way we want to represent ourselves. So.
So again, just in summary, the proposed changes include discontinuing contracting with the collection agency for this service. And so that item is stricken from the text. We're basically just adding clarifying language about how somebody can replace a lost item. We needed to add language that was more explicit about what was acceptable. And then up here, again, Jay mentioned the laptop, fine. This is something that we believe is at this point incongruent with our philosophy around not accepting fines. And in addition, this is something that the staff actually raised as a concern in the context of our joint labor management team. They felt like this was an outmoded or sort of a fine that disproportionately impacted people, lower income folks or people who were experiencing homelessness. And then I also wanted to point out that we are asking to withdraw this $1 per day fine that you see in reference to Cornerstone's kit, because this is not a kit that we're circulating at this time. And so this is now an irrelevant reference. So those are the four most substantive changes. I think now would be a good time to take questions with respect to the proposed changes.
I do not see hands up. Sophie, sorry, I do see yours now. And
I was just going to say that I have no questions. I just wanted to say that I really appreciate the work that our library has done and continues to do to ensure that we have the most progressive policies around fines and that we operate in such a way as to welcome the participation of people, including people whose lives may not be as regimented and organized as others and or who may not have the means to pay fines. And in particular, the idea that a library fine would somehow find its way into their credit score just seems so contrary to anything that we would possibly want to be involved in. I just think this is really important work. I know it may seem kind of nitpicky or like small matters, but I think it's actually a really big, important, symbolic and meaningful set of changes. And I fully support our rooting out vestiges of this kind of punitive practices and that disproportionately hurt lower income library users wherever you're able to find them. So you can count on me to vote yes on this. And if you find other places, I welcome you bringing them to us.
And we'll be looking, for what it's worth, Sophie. Keep in mind, I've been with us maybe 13 or 14 years now, and we've made the circulation policy more generous every time we've come to you. So we've never gone backwards on restrictions or made them more firm. And we'll continue to do it. The only reason it takes time is we take a little step forward, see if it puts our collection in any kind of great risk, you know, because we have to be careful about that too. We want things to keep coming back and that kind of thing. So far they've all been successful and we'll just keep going. We want to be as generous as we can. And we want everybody to feel like they have a welcome place in our library and using our collection, and they shouldn't feel any other way. So we're getting there and we'll just keep moving.
Trustee Green.
I have a query with respect to the items that can be accepted in lieu of payment that specifically are electronic things. I just want to reaffirm that anything that could carry a virus, we are asking for something that is new in package, things like DVDs or MP3s or that kind of thing. We're asking for new inside the package, nothing that's opened already, right?
Correct. Yes.
Great. Okay.
And keep in mind that even though everything is written down here, there is a lot of case by case basis type stuff that happens with replacement copies. But in any case, everything is evaluated when it gets to that point if we do receive something. And not that many patrons take advantage of this, but those that do, it sometimes represents savings for them. It's cheaper than the bill might have been. And it's something that they can get quickly or whatever it is. But by all means, especially with something like that, we would be very careful and accept only things that could not have been tampered with.
Right. I'm just concerned about any liability or sure. Any viruses that we might pass on. Thank you. Yeah.
Are there any other questions? I don't see anybody's hand.
Amy, I'd like to move that we accept this policy, library circulation policy, as expressed this evening, and in that it will take effect February 3rd, 2022.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second. Gladly, John.
Okay. And we should call the roll.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey.
Yes, yes we can.
Amy Roth.
Yes. I vote yes.
Sophie Hahn.
Yes.
Diane Davenport.
Yes.
Trustee Green.
Yes.
And Trustee Solofsky.
Yes.
Thank you.
Motion is carried.
And thank you, Jay. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, Jay.
Okay, and can I correct my previous order faux pas and go on to item B? Okay, so we got together and we tried to think of things that we should be working on as a board. And they are not exhaustive. I'm happy to take questions, happy to add something, happy to discuss. I'd like to just go over them quickly. They're pretty self-explanatory. So, and they're not in order of, in any kind of order, they're just there. So to finish the bylaws, And we're pretty far along in that process. The draft has been completed and will be submitted for legal review and comment from public. Create a master schedule for the year that would include any requirements that any of us need to take part in: board meetings, 4x2 meetings, staff, right, all staff meetings, etc. Okay. A review of the executive director's salaries. Oh, well, okay. All right, let's just finish up. Develop a strategic plan for the library. We've talked about that quite a bit. That is a very large project that will involve a lot of people and probably outside help as well. Let's see, and along with that, actually I'm gonna skip one: to improve the evaluation procedures for the executive director. This one we did last year was the first in a number of years. So we're looking to have that better align with Tessa's work plan, et cetera. Maybe have some more participants in the review. Let's see, and not last, but number five, perhaps develop a strategic plan for us as a board, set longer term goals and opportunities for board development, and possibly scheduling a retreat to address that issue. So there you have it, in short. And let's see. Okay, John, I see your hand up.
Thank you. I think these are great. I have no quibble with any of these. I'm gonna refer to number one: finish the bylaws. Included in embedded in that is replacement of board members and the process for new board members, correct?
Yes.
We don't have to call that out because that's going to be in the bylaws.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But I want us to all think about that when we're discussing the bylaws. Certainly, we've been talking about a strategic plan since I've been on the board, right? And yes, it's certainly about time that we took those first steps and look at a consultant, a firm to help us out, whatever that entails. And number three, which is on the agenda tonight, so it hasn't been passed yet, right? Is that right?
Right.
That's right.
Okay. So the review of the executive director salary, if you guys recall last month, I asked that we look at our evaluation that we just finished up the last few months, that we have a discussion of what we're going to do with that, because it's just kind of hanging there and there was no closure on that whatsoever. Am I to assume that that's going to be, no, I don't think that's encapsulated in number three. That's a future board meeting, but I asked for it on this board meeting and I didn't see any reference to it whatsoever. So I'm just calling that out, that we did not have closure on the evaluation we just finished. I'm gonna leave it at that for now.
Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
All right, I think when we embark on a strategic planning process. I think one of the documents people are going to look at, whoever they are, the consultants, we, library staff, is this as a starting point, as somewhere to, okay, here's where we can hook something on here. I want to call out specifically, I have some language that is very loose and I'm not tied to this language at all, but I want us to call out further pursuing and enhancing equity work, that is diversifying staff, any branch discrepancies and branch needs, explore and identify community and resiliency needs, which we actually talked about in that whole thing about our community and community programming. But I do really want to call that out because I think that's one of the things the library has done. Our library staff has been just amazing, continuing that work during this pandemic. But I want to continue that and build on that post-pandemic. If there is a post-pandemic, I'm not sure there's going to be, by the way. That's only my take on it. I think we're going to live with this for God knows how long. But do you get my drift, Amy? Does that make sense?
Are you saying, what I'm hearing is that those concerns that you just identified should definitely be in the strategic plan?
Not only that, I also think that this is a list of potential projects for the next year, right? Or
at least, foreseeable
future. I think we should have it on the front burner, explicit, so that people know that we're thinking about it and talking about it and doing things about it.
Okay, there were several hands up. Sophie, then Diane, then Tess. Sophie, go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much. And I just wanted to definitely clarify that when Amy and I with Tess did a little brainstorming here, this was just sort of our list to get the conversation going. And also just to clarify that this is not our list of what we think the library should be doing. This is our list of goals for ourselves as a board. And this, I think on item 3, review of the executive director salary, I think, John, we will speak a little bit to that with our next item. Because that item is what we concluded we could do to move it forward. We did agendize something. It was just wasn't, I guess, exactly in the format that you expected. But on item 4, the strategic plan for the Berkeley Public Library, I think we might have written that a little better by saying that we want the board to advance the strategic planning for the Berkeley Public Library. But I wanted to really clarify that when we were talking about it, we viewed the strategic planning process as something for the entire library to be engaged in, right? Not that the board would do the strategic plan, but for example, right, we want to know what are the next steps. If a consultant is going to be hired, we want to be presented with a budget request and we want to allocate the money and we want to, you know, understand what the timeline will be and make sure that it is a broadly participatory process and all that, but not that we were going to do the library strategic plan. So I really wanted to emphasize that. Regarding a separate item for a strategic plan for Bolt, that might have been a little highfalutin to call it a strategic plan, but we thought, you know, we as a board should take some time. We've been kind of in repair mode mm-hmm. for a couple years at the library, and then COVID came. We felt like maybe now is a good time for our board to take a deep breath and start thinking, you know, well, how would we be the best board that we could be? And what's our plan to strengthen ourselves as a board? And so that's kind of the difference between 4 and 5. And then if I understood correctly, what you were saying, John, and I think I understood correctly and I really liked it, is that additional goals, like additional bullet points of things that we should try to accomplish as a board this year are, one, to, I'll just say broadly, pursue equity work. And I think we could define what that means, but that would be another goal of ours for this year. And then to identify what I think you called resiliency needs, to explore the question of library resilience. Is that right, John? Did I understand that correctly? Those would be things that we would want to do this year as a board.
Yeah, I think you captured the essence of what I said. I had some specifics there, but
right.
I think you did capture the essence.
But two topics.
I think those, yes, I think those.
Equity those, and resilience, which are of course related.
I think those are the theme, the big themes for what I was saying. Yes.
Yeah, so I guess I'll just say that I think those are great additions to sort of goals we might set for ourselves as a board for this year. And, you know, we could flesh out in the future more what we mean by those two things, but I think those are great additions. So those are all my comments.
Okay, Trustee Davenport.
I would just like to add to the strategic planning for BOLT that I hope that we can begin to identify some personal characteristics, maybe some experience, strengths, and some professional skills that we would look for in new board members in terms of finding a broad base for the Board of Library Trustees itself. So to begin to identify some things that we think are useful to us at Berkeley, community outreach or whatever, to make our board stronger and more resilient.
I'm going to quickly chime in and say that the draft bylaws, which I just read really recently, have a ton of language about that. So I think we'll have the opportunity to talk about that in the context of the bylaws, but we may not want it there. So that might be something to discuss, but there's a lot in there on that question.
Thank you, Sophie.
Okay, Director Meyer.
Thank you. I appreciate listening to everybody's feedback with respect to your priority setting work. I just first wanted to clarify something with respect to the library's internal racial equity team, or otherwise known as RJAG, the Berkeley Public Library Racial Equity, Racial Justice Action Group. Basically, this is our internal change team that we formed last year. This team has been part of a quite large program that California public libraries have been participating in, led by two really wonderful subject matter experts, including Patty Wong, who's now closer to us than she was before when she was in Santa Monica. And they've been leading leadership trainings for library cohorts to learn about how to lead racial equity change efforts in their own organizations. And so of course it takes time for staff because they need to participate in all of the training and all of the orientation. And this is provided by the Government Alliance for Racial Equity, which is a really significant organization in terms of helping government organizations drive change with respect to racial equity work. So I just want to comment that I really think that we need to look to our change team to sort of lead the way with respect to this. Now that they're moving into their second year, they will be developing a racial equity action plan for the organization that should also, it should really touch every aspect of the organization in terms of personnel, in terms of, you know, the ways that we do programming and outreach, in terms of the ways that we budget and the ways that we contract with people. We know, for example, that there's a really significant conversation right now taking place at the citywide level around contracting and making sure that we're expanding and engaging with women and BIPOC businesses as much as possible. So it really is, I think, a comprehensive plan. And we don't have the plan yet. One stage of this will be training for the whole organization as well as the board. I believe that it's very important for us all to participate in the same orientation and training work so that we're using a common vocabulary and we have, you know, more collective understanding of the goals. So the Board of Library Trustees would be participating in this training and development work along with the rest of the library staff. I think that visibility and participation is really important. I'm just commenting to say that I think that this will be an effort that the library staff will be driving, in particular our racial equity group. And I think that it will be helpful to have this be a priority of the board, but it's something that we really need to do in concert because we need to make sure that we're empowering our staff to help lead the change. And that's really what works in organizations. That's what really helps is you know, buy-in and participation from all of staff, as well as making sure that all of the priorities receive adequate budget and that the staff doing this work receive administrative support as well. So apologies for a long-winded comment with respect to that, but I do think it's important to come and summarize what we're doing because they are doing this work behind the scenes. They haven't presented to you yet. That could be something that eventually when they're ready may be helpful. They did a very comprehensive presentation to the staff later last year that was really well received that I think some of you might've been able to see. I also just wanted to ask John with respect to, I apologize, I'm asking to understand there's an item that you felt like hasn't been represented that relates to the director's evaluation. And I'm not sure if I'm trying to clarify so that we can, if there's a need for this to be agendized, that it gets represented. Does this relate to what occurs with the documents that were created in support of the evaluation? Is it just a question of making sure that it gets filed in a personnel file? Is that the outstanding question? I really want to make sure I understand what the concern is.
Thank you, Tess. That's more or less the concern.
Yeah.
When we had the discussion in December, I think it was, it wasn't clear to me what would happen to the documents that we agreed upon or that any of them would be filed in your personnel file. And I'm not now saying that they should be, but I think we should be explicit about what we want to do with that evaluation and not just let it take on its own life or non-life, if you will. That's not what a board should do. We should be explicit in what we have done and what we want to do with those documents. And I'm not clear that that was done in December.
Does this then need to be agendized as a discussion item, or is this an item for which someone could make a motion with respect to including them in my personnel file?
Well, we need to have an agenda item for somebody to make a motion.
Okay. Thank you.
But I'm not sure, where are those documents? What happened to the, where are they now? Nowhere, right?
I think we should not get into the details of this conversation. When we did the agenda setting, I'll say that I did not remember this little slice as a loose end that we needed to agendize. And to the extent that I forgot to bring it up, I'll just apologize. I was focused on another piece of the evaluation, which was folding into the salary review. But I think you're right, John, that was left unfinished, that little piece of business. And so, but I don't think we can do that little piece of business here now.
I actually agree with, we can't do it tonight, but and unfinished, unstated. And the unstated part of it bothers me as a board member. We should be explicit in what we are doing and not doing.
I think it was a loose end that we just forgot needed to be tied. And I'm sure in our next meeting, we can figure out how to agendize it.
And Tess, I did have my hand up about what you were discussing about the staff equity work. And I don't want the board to be in conflict with whatever staff equity work is going on. But I also know that staff work is unknown, invisible to the community for the most part. I just want this on the front burner so community members know that it is important to the board and important to the library and that we are continuing that work. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, and I think it's quite complicated. In my own experience and in terms of what I've learned about change efforts and institutionalizing successful change efforts, I think that there is a time where the team needs time to plan and understand what it is that they're going to prioritize. In addition, our team has realized they need to add new members who will need to be oriented and understand what they're doing. It's really important for us to be more methodical, I believe, in terms of developing an actual real plan that people believe in. Some of the work that the racial equity team has been featured publicly, for example, it was the racial equity team that surfaced the story of librarian Jim Jacobs and brought it to the city council. And that was something that they felt like was incredibly important to do, especially symbolically. With respect to representation in the city of Berkeley and also within the library and the history of just the diversity of the staff over time at the library. The other thing that the staff has brought forward is a collection initiative that the foundation is funding that relates to basically presenting books and book bundles in a new way that help people talk about race in a different way. And these are not ready to go live, but that's an initiative that they wanted to sort of get started to have something to put into the hands of the public. So I wanted to mention that there are a couple of those things that I think will be more visible. But I also want to acknowledge that meaningful change takes time and planning, and it's really important for us not to sort of do performative things that will not sort of represent lasting change. I think there's a lot of understandable cynicism and, you know, concern on the part of our community and also on the part of some of our staff of color who've experienced sort of, you know, maybe more superficial efforts towards change only to have them kind of dropped and, you know, I picked up again in a different way later, and we're really trying to avoid making that mistake. So I wholeheartedly understand the value of having this work be public and understood by the community. And I also just want to make sure that there's context around why it's taken time for them to prepare the plan and what they're doing, because it will take us a long time. I will send a link later to the San Francisco Public Library Racial Equity Plan. It's a really wonderful example of such a plan, and it's incredibly detailed and incredibly ambitious. And I think that it kind of speaks to the level of just I guess the intensity and the commitment to this work that people have. So I appreciate your point. I do hear you. And I also just wanted to respond with respect to what is going on behind the scenes.
Amy, can't hear you.
Okay. Are we ready to go on to item C?
I'd actually like to comment on the item that we are speaking about now, if you don't mind.
Sure. I'm sorry. I didn't see your hand before. Go ahead.
So I just want to say that I support where John Salowski is, what he is saying. I understand that these sorts of initiatives will be much more better received by the staff if they are created by the staff. There are some areas where I believe that it might be helpful for the board to understand what staff priorities are. So perhaps perhaps it might be helpful to just set expectations by advising on what the timeline is. Like, but for example, there are some areas that I've just, and I haven't had a chance to talk with you about this, Tess, and I haven't seen the study that you've talked about that actually I think you offered to me regarding some areas where I wonder whether or not people have thought about. So I would be, I do think it's important for this to be a staff-driven initiative. I also think that there are benefits to sharing with the board what the general direction is of the staff and taking advantage of the experience of the board and things that we might see or I might see that other people don't. So that's just my comment. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to emphasize that our intention is absolutely to have this group come to the board and present their work to you. We've needed to wait until the right time when they felt like they had the capacity to do that. And also when they felt like they had addressed progress on their conversation, the point where they're ready to present to you. That's all. As I said, they did present some of that information to library staff fairly recently, and it included their proposed priorities, and we would do something similar within this context so that you would have those opportunities to comment and advise with respect to the direction. I do appreciate that the group will benefit from your expertise.
Trustee Han.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that I also think, you know, we also have our own work to do as a board. Again, it's doesn't have to be our project for the library. We have to have projects for ourselves, and we have not had the opportunity to read a book together, have a training, think about how do we embody or carry out or forward our mission around diversity and equity as a board. And so I certainly feel that the library itself, the staff and the library as an organization is, my sense is has embarked on a very worthwhile and important project, but we're not in it. And I think there's a place for us to do our own work. And I'm interested in that for us as a board. In addition to hearing about, knowing more about, learning from the process that our staff are engaged in, because I think they've done a lot more thinking and exploring than we have. So we have a lot to learn from them here.
So I think there are many opportunities for us that don't involve sort of reinventing or stepping in any way to work that the library is already doing.
And just to clarify, it is not my intention to step into the staff function. I do think there are some areas of opportunity, or at least one area of opportunity that involves equity that where we can be helpful, or where I can be helpful.
I don't see any.
Thank you.
I don't see any more hands up. Okay. So
do we need to take action on this item, Amy?
I don't believe that we do, but somebody wants to correct me. You are welcome.
Why don't we just agree that the updated list of potential projects, I mean, we're not making a super firm commitment to them, which is just what we're going to try to do, that we will include that as an information item at the next meeting. And that way, if anyone feels it wasn't written up correctly or something, we can pull it from information and discuss it.
Okay.
So I don't think we need a motion for that.
Fine. Yeah. Sounds good.
Sounds good. Okay. Item C. Authorization for President and Vice President of Polk to advance salary study project. Okay, so this—
I so move.
Oh, okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second, but I wanted to hear what John had to say on this.
Well, I'll call for any discussion. John, your hand is up now. Okay.
Yeah. So initially the reason I pulled this was because of my concern about our completed evaluation and where it sits and what's going to happen to it. And I thought they were kind of tied together in a way. They're not really, but I did get an explanation of that, and I think everybody, you understand where I'm coming from on the evaluation that was completed, and that I do want to have a determination by the board, an explicit determination, so that it's not just left there hanging. I'm willing to vote for this and move on.
Okay. Trustee Han?
I just wanted to give a little bit of background on this. I think we had expressed as a board a desire to get the information we need to look at the director's salary. It was a little bit complicated. I checked with the city, you know, who would do that? Who would do the salary study and provide the information? Is it the city or is it the library? And what is the capacity? And would we use a consultant? And, you know, it should have been very simple, but it turned out it wasn't that straightforward. We did figure out, we found out the approximate cost. It's far, far, far below the amount that the library director is allowed to authorize without us taking any action. And staff, the city HR department does have a consultant that has done a bunch of studies who is available, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But then Amy and I realized that we haven't really been delegated full authority to move forward on that. Director Mayer has the authority to approve the money, but we weren't sure that you guys had clearly delegated to us, like, go ahead and do this and, you know, make the arrangements. And that's why, out of abundance of caution and in deference to the full board, we wanted a formal delegation of authority to just move ahead and get these things done on behalf of the whole board. So that's the background for this. Everything is teed up. We just didn't feel like we had been given the clear authority to say yes and take the steps necessary. So that's it.
Any other hands up? I don't see any. There's a motion on the floor. So was there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. And I guess we should call a roll.
Trustee Roth?
Yes.
Trustee Hahn?
Yes.
Trustee Davenport?
Yes.
Was that a yes?
Yes.
Trustee Green?
Yes.
And Trustee Solowski?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your vote of confidence. Okay. I think we are on items for future agendas. And
information reports, I think.
No, we did those. Oh, we didn't. We didn't.
There are two more.
There are two more. We did the outdoor programming. Okay, Tess, you're on.
Thank you very much. I'll try to keep these brief. The first report that I wanted to provide relates to the project that Kathy Huff referenced in the beginning of the meeting, the Central Library Story Room project. So this is something that I think we've been talking about for quite some time. And I really, again, appreciate Kathy Huff's support and her understanding for the need to collaborate with staff in this work. Basically, we are now at the stage where we're going to be contracting with Anderson Brulé Architects in the redesign of the Level 4 Children's Room. And I just wanted to share a little bit about the process that we went through to get to this point. Of course, this is the library concluded the Central Library Improvement Project, really the first phase of that included renovations to Level 1 and Level 2 last winter. And there was always an intention to move forward with additional refreshes to the rest of the floors 3, 4, and 5 after we were able to complete that first phase. And the story room redesign was identified as an important, really meaningful project for the community, because I think that it's a really beloved space, and story times are such significant programs to people in the community. But the space has its limitations just in terms of how we host programming there. And I think that there are things that we could do to make our community feel more comfortable in the space. And so one of the things I've appreciated is this has been a collaborative project with our Central Children's Services team. They've met and shared their sort of hopes and dreams, their concerns about future spaces. As many of you know, we're working with librarians that have a strong knowledge of programming in the community. Many of the staff have an extensive tenure at the library, and so they're really coming with a lot of experience around needs. And we're trying to get a sense from them of how they were imagining the space. They really needed to look at storage space. That's a significant issue for the team. We are also interested in looking at the media room, which is the room that's adjacent to the story time room, because we think there are opportunities to use that space better than we currently are, and just add some storage space, make it a more interactive space potentially. Some of the staff have even referenced things like trying to make sure that bathrooms for children and caregivers are really optimized for their experience as well, because there are things that we could do, again, to make them easier for children to use with their caregivers. And so the foundation provided funding support to hire an organizing company. And this was really necessary because the children's staff have a lot of supplies. There's a lot of need to look at all of their materials and try to figure out what kind of storage space they would really need and how that would need to be incorporated into a design for the new story or for the story room. And I just want to acknowledge our children's librarian, Emma Coleman, has been providing leadership around that part of the project. It's been really great having her do that. The staff were able to look at images from a number of different architects, including the Civic Group, which does a lot of children's museum design, and of course, ABA, Anderson Brulé. There was a third vendor that the staff eliminated from consideration because it wasn't really well aligned with, I think, the vision that the team had. And ultimately, the staff felt that it was good to go with a designer that had library experience, and so they advocated for ABA. So far, one of the architects from this firm has done an informal site visit, and I just wanted to share with you very briefly some examples of the work that they've done, just because I think that it highlights hopefully something that they might may be able to provide for us as well. Thanks for your patience there. So is everyone able to see these images or the image that I have up here? Okay, good, thank you. So these are just some designs or examples from other projects that ABA has worked on. I'm gonna kind of skip their text here. I think that these are really obviously bright, vibrant, you know, kind of inviting and interactive spaces. One of the things I noticed in this image is that they've created a designated place for their Family Place programming. Family Place is a really wonderful program that public libraries participate in that involves a certain degree of community outreach and partnering to provide sort of dedicated program service to some members of the community. And so I just like the fact that at San Jose, they've incorporated that into the design. I think that's really welcoming. Really briefly, the city of Salinas, a couple of other examples of how they redesigned children's rooms there. I thought there was maybe one more really nice one. Redwood City Public Library, I believe this one is. I think this, again, just shows a nice use of color, comfortable furniture, really attractive displays. And I think that these are all things that would potentially make our spaces more welcoming for people here as well. I think that this was an interesting one in terms of the way that it features art or incorporates art. And the children's staff were very clear on this point. They're very passionate about this, which is they very much want there to be art incorporated somehow into the design work, but they don't want it to be sort of off-putting and or be too babyish for kids that are older. So they want the artwork to really speak to a broader range of ages, which I appreciated because that is something that we sometimes have a hard time with in children's services because we're trying to serve such a wide age span. So I wanted just to provide this as an informational update in terms of where we are with the process. We're very excited to be at the point where we can move forward. The children's staff are still working hard, working through some of the materials that they have in storage. But I think that it's gonna be good to get started and start with some design discussions, again, that are inclusive of the staff that are involved in the work and that really, I think are informed by that perspective. And I'd like to open it to questions. Trustee Green, is that a new hand? Or I just want to confirm.
Yes, okay. That's a new hand. I'm curious about the procurement process. Was this an open procurement process subject to the City of Berkeley's guidelines, or was this like a request for invitation or a request for qualifications, or was this all left to the foundation to choose the vendor?
Well, we've all provided feedback about potentially appropriate vendors. There are different designers in the field of library design work, but with respect to procurement, this is a project that the foundation is funding directly for us. And so it doesn't require that we'd go through an RFP process the way we would if we were using library tax fund dollars to pay the vendor.
Thank you.
Were there other questions or comments?
I'll just say I love a good decorating project. So it's really nice to hear that we're continuing.
Thank you. We do hope that there will be opportunities to really just find ways to embed the community in the design as well, and just address what's unique about Berkeley. That's something that I think has been a value in all of the preceding projects, and I'm sure it will be with this one as well.
Did you know there was a thought at one time to make the space in the stairwells into gallery space, and the big blank walls? I don't know if that ever got buried as an idea.
Say again which space you're referring to?
In the stairwell, the stairs at the Central Library, there are these huge, tall, white walls as you get to landings, every landing. And at one time there was a talk, I mean, what made me think of this is you saying, you know, incorporating Berkeley and art. Sometimes I think what happens in Berkeley is we'll like capture the creative expression of one second grade class or something. And then for the rest of time, the tiles that they did when they were in the second grade are our public art. And it doesn't allow for every generation or every cohort or everyone to have a piece of expression. And so I had always thought the idea of transforming some of those walls into actual gallery spaces where, you know, what was displayed or murals or whatever would come and go over time would be a nice way to keep it fresh and allow for ongoing artistic participation rather than like a snapshot that you hold on to for 30 years or something.
Absolutely. And I also think that there's a lot of potential in the City of Berkeley to partner with, you know, the Arts Commission and really look at collaborating with a partner that could help manage that process of making sure that we were being inclusive in terms of local artists, and, you know, making sure that the artists were representative of the community. And there's also, it's interesting, I'm not sure whether we have a 1% for art kind of program here where people get commissioned. We do.
Oh yes,
yeah,
we do.
that's been another, I think, really effective way that public libraries have introduced art. I think with those, though, tend to be more permanent installations. I did notice at the Hayward Library recently that there was a room that had second graders, just as you're saying, had drawn pictures, and all of the pictures of this whole class were stenciled into the glass of this classroom, so to be memorialized forever. So that's definitely sometimes still a design feature.
But yeah, in the city's administration building, City Hall on Milvia Street, We do have, through the Arts Commission, they change the art on the walls twice a year. And it's amazing. They have beautiful, and as you say, you know, diverse representation. Lots of different Berkeley artists get to have their work shown in the halls, but not that many people get to see it because, you know, they don't have like an art opening or something. But I think in the library, something like that could be built out and it would be much more participatory and would avoid the problem of having one grade of second class of second graders forever and more and memorialize that every second grade class would get its chance, so to speak. So
thank you.
Rowan, get out there since you were talking about art and the library and decor and, you know, making our wonderful public spaces available for to showcase all the wonderful creative endeavors of Berkeleyans.
Thank you for that suggestion. Were there any other questions or comments? Well, I will keep my director's report brief. I did want to take the opportunity, of course, to follow up on the really important questions that were raised during last month's meeting with respect to ownership and insurance status of public buildings. And it's been interesting to investigate this because what we're finding is there is sometimes maybe a lack of information or misinformation, even in terms of amongst our colleagues, right? and I think that there are frequently opportunities for us to address this and just make sure that everyone has clarity and is on the same page. So with respect to the ownership of the buildings, the library locations are actually owned by the City of Berkeley. I appreciate our fiscal administrative services manager, Nika, looking into this on our behalf following last month's meeting. And so the properties that are owned by the City of Berkeley are part of the insurance coverage that's provided by Alliant BCJ PIA. And this means that the buildings have coverage that are associated with their replacement value. I think that we're still following up in terms of investigating the question of whether this particular coverage applies towards sort of building defects that are emergent. In the case of the project we were describing, that's the water intrusion into the teen room. This is again this longstanding drainage situation that's been impacting the building. That's actually a more complicated issue because the source of where the water is kind of intruding into the building is the sidewalk, which the Public Works Department is responsible for. So the question of how much the library would really be charged with respect to that is still under negotiation, just because it's not actually library property that is being repaired in that particular case. I think the other things that we talked about in the deferred maintenance report, I really want to emphasize that the majority of those items are not covered by insurance because we're talking about the wear and tear of components or systems that we just have to pay to replace. So again, the air ducts, the elevators, the air conditioning, sort of air circulation units. Those are examples. When the library made a decision to upgrade to MERV 13 filters because of the coronavirus pandemic, basically wanting to make sure that we had air filtration systems that were the correct match for the size of the coronavirus particle, we had to pay for that. We made the decision to pay for that everywhere we could because we felt like the safety of the staff and the public was the highest priority. So again, most of the deferred maintenance that we've referenced during the report is not going to be covered by insurance. And then of course, there's this highly complex history of what happened with the stucco. And, you know, I've attached those reports, or we included them in the board packet for your reference, because they are very detailed. But again, in summary, there was a central remodel that was completed in 2002. And there was a construction lawsuit. So a lawsuit around faulty construction of this work that went on for, I think, 13 years before it was settled. So there was already a very complex legal history. And then this piece of stucco fell in 2018. And it became clear that all of the stucco was going to have to be removed and then replaced. And really, the settlement reports, to save you the time, the settlement report defines the fact that the construction company was the only one that actually had a right to pursue third parties that included insurance carriers. So when the city settled that case, they no longer could actually look to an insurance company to provide coverage with respect to the faulty construction. So it was a significant issue, and the documentation is there. And I think it's a really good thing that this came up, because I think this is context that was really important for everyone to be aware of. And I'm glad that we had the opportunity to review it. Very quickly, with respect to the Omicron surge, in total so far, the library has had 6 positive cases. At the time I wrote the report, we hadn't had any additional confirmed positive cases. We did have some staff that were quarantining, awaiting test results. So far, all of those have been negative. We're very hopeful that, you know, staff doesn't continue to be negatively impacted by this, but of course that the situation, as we know, is still sort of resolving, and you know, we're not completely clear of this wave of the variant. We are happy that we kicked off our librarian recruitment. We had a really excellent pool of 179 applicants, which is great. We're beginning our screening process, and we hope to be doing placement interviews in early March. So I've really appreciated our new HR analyst, Mai's support with this project. She's really come in with a lot of hard work and dedication, which I appreciate. And lastly, I'd like to invite everybody to attend our Lunar New Year celebration. I am pleased to say that our new supervising librarian, Elaine Tai, along with the children's staff at Central, are hosting a really great multifaceted celebration outside the Central Library. And it will include a special story time, as well as a craft and a lion dance that may or may not come into the building. We'll see if they come into the Central Library. And basically, I'd like to conclude there and just check to see whether there are any questions with respect to any of that information.
Tess, say just a little bit more about the New Year's celebration. Is it going to be on site? Is it going to be where?
Thank you. Thank you. It's going to be on site at the Central Library. I believe it begins at 10:30, and maybe somebody can drop the link in the chat. I'm not sure quite what the order of events will be, but it will include a special Lunar New Year celebration story time, a craft, and a lion dance. So that's and also drumming, I believe, as well. So it will be loud. And we put that on the flyer.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes my report.
There, I needed to unmute. Thank you, Tess. I'm sorry, Heverly, I keep missing your hand somehow. Go ahead.
So I also want to remind all of us that February is Black History Month and invite Amy Reeder and the library to insert the event that is going to be held to celebrate Black History Month later this morning into the chat so that we all might be aware of that also.
Thank you. And there are a couple of events. So there's a special story time on February 19th. And this features storyteller Kirk Waller at Grove Park. And he's a renowned storyteller, sort of nationwide. And he will be sharing traditional African-American stories and songs. And then the North Branch, I'm just wanting to make sure that I'm getting the time. It's going to be on February 26th. They're featuring a special African drumming program that's provided by Village Rhythms Drumming. So I very much appreciate your call out, Trustee Green, of those programs, which I think are gonna help everybody celebrate and recognize Black History Month as well.
Amy, did you want to speak? Or your face just appeared. You okay?
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, but also just starting today, we did a series starting posting on social media of every location does different book displays for Black History Month and bulletin boards and things like that. So we've started, I think the first two posted today, which was West and South, I think we started with. And so you'll see total in our Instagram too, more things like that. And also featuring collections like Canopy is having a curated collection, things like that too. In addition, I just wanted to say there's other stuff in addition to events coming up too, but I'm getting the links quickly, I promise.
Thank you. All right, items for future agendas. What do we have on the hob?
Placement of the director's evaluation.
A little loose end from that John brought up.
Okay.
I mean, just looking at the list of potential projects we talked about, I'm wondering if there's anything that staff could start us on the master schedule, maybe an idea for what the structure for strategic planning might be, for the library, a sketch of that, whatever staff might be ready, a presentation on the equity work, whatever piece, would love to have it.
Okay, I got the impression that Tess would rather wait for the equity work until she feels they're ready.
Just to clarify, I'd like an opportunity to talk with them and see when they would feel ready to report. And that's not a conversation that I've had with them. And so just out of respect for the team, I would like that chance before committing them to check in with them. That's all.
Great.
How about the master schedule? I would assume that most of that is, it just needs to be put together. It's all there.
Yeah, so I did want to comment that is a topic that we will be introducing for the March agenda. That will be the review of the various topics that are presented at board meetings. And the purpose of this is to both provide information and background to everyone about the kinds of things that have been included, and also to ask for feedback from the trustees with respect to potential topics. So it'll be both of those things. And our plan is to provide that in March.
Okay.
We will also be providing one of the pieces of feedback that I heard was that it would help for there to be more regular updates from all of our operations, all of our different teams. And the first of those reports is also scheduled for March, and that will be a report from the Claremont branch.
Great.
We also now need to come to you with information about the budget process, which for the City of Berkeley has started, and we'd like to provide you with an update with respect to that as well.
Okay.
Can you remind us what we were doing around bylaws? Are you currently waiting for input from us one-on-one?
We have not been at the stage where the bylaws have been submitted for public comment, but of course we can talk about your feedback individually right now because they have been presented to you. And I, at the same time that we're doing that, I am also coordinating for the legal review to occur. And I've been in contact with our city attorney's office to determine how to get that done.
Yeah, actually she brought that up with me today and seemed to have thought of a good firm to reach out to and was gonna be doing that. So it was on her radar. Okay, great. I will reach out to meet with you about that, having now gone through them. But I wasn't sure if there was something to agendize for next time, but it sounds like not yet.
I don't think that we'll be prepared for public comment at next month's meeting. Thanks.
I move that the meeting be adjourned.
Thank you. Who's going to second that?
I'll second.
Yeah. Okay. I guess we have to call the roll.
Yep. Trustee Roth?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Trustee Hahn?
Yes, and thank you, Eve, for staying on the phone the entire meeting.
I haven't done this kind of action in a long time.
Oh, my goodness.
Trustee Davenport?
Yes.
Trustee Green?
Yes.
And Trustee Solowski?
Yes, and thank you all.
Thank you, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.